David Lott joining us on behalf of the Extension Office here in North Platte. David, good to see you in the studio. Did you enjoy your 4th of July weekend, sir?
Had a wonderful 4th of July weekend visiting with friends and lots of good food and just enjoyed a nice break from everything.
Now, David, for folks that haven't heard us chat before, you're a horticulturalist. Is that the correct term?
Yes. I've been here for 12 years.
12 years. And hopefully we'll have you for at least another 12 more, right?
Those first 12 really move very fast. So it's been like you turn around and look, it's like, I cannot believe it. We've been here that long.
Time's a funny thing, isn't it?
It is. Time marches on, whether we're ready for it or not.
And we can see that happening right now in the garden, that time marching on. We were just talking off the air about some of the vegetable plants and the tomato specifically. It's getting to that time where we're going to see a lot of green turning into a little bit of red.
We're starting to see tomatoes start to set on the vine, and usually you'll see that with your cherry tomatoes and your salad tomatoes first, and then you'll also start to see your early varieties such as 4th of July, which is aptly named, and now is actually the time to fertilize around those plants once you start to see tomatoes setting on the plant, and that is kind of counterintuitive. The opposite of what we would think. There's a little trick with tomatoes that's easy to follow is to get that plant in the ground, get it established, don't fertilize it until that first tomato sets. And that helps it change over from a growth standard to a production standard. And we trick it, so then we will feed it. Once it's got that first tomato set on, that tomato's plant is ready to start setting on the fruit, and then that's when we need to feed it so it'll set on more and start to turn.
Now, what kind of products should folks look at purchasing for those tomatoes in terms of getting that fertilization that you're talking about, David?
Just simple balanced fertilizers such as 10-10-10. And when we talk about those numbers, 10-10-10 means 10% of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Those are the three main nutrients in fertilizer. Those are called macronutrients. Okay. And those numbers represent a percentage. So there are vegetable fertilizers that you also can use, and some that are specifically for tomatoes. Those are great. They are a little bit different than the balance, but you can get away with using a balanced fertilizer with the balanced ratio just fine here.
Okay. And folks will be able to find those at Walmart or some of the hardware stores locally?
Yes. Our hardware stores, our box stores such as Walmart and Menards, and our nurseries.
Okay. Again, David Lott joining us here. And when we talk about those tomatoes setting, what does that mean for folks that aren't aware of that term, David?
It means setting is that they're starting to bloom. Okay. And then the blooms drop and we actually get fruit developing.
Okay.
So they are actually starting to produce the tomato fruit. And one common misconception, we see some people that call in that have babied and love those plants, and they grow and they grow and they grow and they grow, and then they very grudgingly set on blossoms, or they don't set blossoms on at all, meaning that you have fed that plant to the point where it's going to be a big lush plant and it's not making that transition over into setting fruit.
Sure. Okay. And when we talk about the vegetable gardens here throughout the area, David, I think tomatoes are some of the most popular, but what else do a lot of people grow out there in the gardens this time of the year?
Tomatoes are the number one crop in the state of Nebraska as well as the nation, but we also raise lots of different types of peppers.
Okay.
Cucumbers are very popular.
Oh, sure.
In a lot of different venues. There's different types of those. We also raise lots of summer squash. The yellow and the green summer squash are very, very popular that work out. We also have people that are raising potatoes, and once the potatoes die down, the plant actually dies down, then it's time to dig the potatoes.
Okay.
So traditionally, people would plant those around Good Friday here.
Sure.
The soil temperature is generally warm enough for then, and it seems to work. And then as the plant grows and it flowers, then it'll die, and then it's time to dig them up. We also raise a lot of onions, too.
Onions, really? quite the variety that we have here in the Nebraska region.
We do. We have a lot of variety here. You will drive around in town and in our small towns in Lincoln County and out in the country. We get calls from all kinds of different things. Also, a lot of rhubarb. People love to raise rhubarb here.
Of course, of course. And rhubarb, what you can do with it after harvest is almost endless, too. Mm-hmm.
And the trick with rhubarb is not to cut the stems, but to pull it.
Sure,
okay. And you leave that little collar around the base of the stem, and that actually initiates the plant, tells the plant to send up more growth.
Now, David, in terms of any other vegetables that might be getting ready for harvest or might be producing a little bit of their fruit and vegetables, what can we expect to do with those, and how should we baby those in a different sense opposed to tomatoes like we were talking about earlier?
Your crops that are falling in with the what we call the mustard family, which would be your cauliflower, your broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, those all need to have a lot of moisture right now as they're developing, because we're going to be in triple digits again today.
Yeah.
And so it's important to keep that moisture down for almost all of the crop. Also your beans, to keep them going. All of these crops use a fair amount of water because there's a fair amount of water content in the edible portion that we eat. So it's good to make sure that we keep the plants from wilting and from lagging behind. For instance, if the tomatoes dry out too much in the soil, then we start to get that brown patch on the bottom.
Yeah.
That's called blossom end rot. And there's lots of different concoctions people have been known to throw aspirin in the planting hole, or Tums and acid. But really the trick is to keep the moisture even in the soil for that plant. It will unlock the calcium that's already in our soil, which is abundant, for those tomatoes to grow, and you won't get the patch. You'll also see the same kind of thing develop in peppers. And of course, hot peppers and jalapenos will develop faster than our bell peppers.
Interesting. Interesting. David, let's talk too about with these dry conditions, it's important also to keep water on those trees, shrubs, and even the yard too.
It is really important, and there's two sets of rules when we're watering trees and shrubs versus the lawn. The lawn is set to go about 4 to 4.5 inches deep. Our trees and shrubs need deeper watering, meaning
sure,
we need to go down a good foot. And so that watering needs to be a slow, gentle, deep watering that goes all the way down through the profile. And then those fine fibrous roots in that first foot of soil are the ones that are going to capture that moisture. So we need to water those trees and shrubs every 2 to 3 weeks deeply, and take a long screwdriver or a long piece of sharpened rod and see how far you can go into that soil. If you can go in a foot deep and you can feel that it's moist, then we've watered that area adequately for the trees and shrubs, which is different than a lawn.
I was reminded of that just a few weeks ago, actually. I had a friend that is very very much an expert in some of this unofficially, and asked him why he thought that I had such a yellow spot in my yard. The rest of the yard was nice and green, but there was just this yellow spot that it didn't matter how much water I seemed to put on it, I could not get it to turn. Mm-hmm. And I was a little frustrated, so I asked my friend, and he said that I probably hadn't been watering my tree properly, so my tree was absorbing most of the moisture that I've been trying to get that yellow spot to turn green for. So if you're not doing it properly, it could have repercussions on the rest of the yard, especially the surrounding area.
The bigger species will take the water first.
Okay.
So in this case, the tree is going to overpower the lawn.
Sure.
But also, we will also see yellow spots in areas where soil's been compacted.
Okay.
And the water does not absorb down in those spots as easy, and then we can see drying there. Also, it's also good to check to see if there's any potential insects or disease problems, you know, such as sod webworm or bill bugs. And we have specific things that we do to check for those that can be in those areas. But soil compaction can happen in a yard, especially if you have a lot of foot traffic or pet traffic.
Sure.
So that's something to think about as well.
David, anything else you'd like to add this morning, my friend?
keep everything watered. Remember to always do your watering and your yard work and your garden work in the morning or the evening. It's important. That's the most efficient uses of our water. It's the most effective time to use any herbicides if you're going to do that. Also, remember 2-4-D drifts. And it's not just going to be your place. It's going to be the neighbor's place and out to a couple miles potentially. So right after the dew is dried up, that's the time to put on any weed killer. And to also think of your neighbors, because tomatoes are one of plant we call an indicator plant that will twist and distort. And people will wonder what happened to their plants. And the neighbor was out working on getting rid of weeds out of the lawn or out of the cracks in the foundations and stuff.
And David, if folks want to learn more and potentially contact you with any questions or concerns, how can they do so, sir?
You can call the Extension office at 308-532-2683.
It's kind of the exciting time of the year for guys like you and I that enjoy that gardening and that backyard work, because we can start to see some of the fruits, pun intended, of our labor start to come to fruition. We're not quite done working yet, but we can start to see some of the progress.
We're starting to see some things pop up, and we're going to get closer to the harvest. And of course, if you can keep the squash bugs away, you'll have zucchini running out of your ears. So, but it's exciting to get the first of the zucchini to show up, so that's good.
David, as always, we appreciate the time, appreciate the great work that you and your colleagues at the Extension provide here for the entire state, and especially the region here locally.
Thank you.